In Ezekiel chapter 36, there's a wonderful revelation of how God saves sinners as it applies to bringing God's people, God's elect, to faith in Christ, the new birth, regeneration. And if you'll just look across the page there, verse 26, verse 25 of Ezekiel 36, he talks about how he will, let's go back to verse 24. He said, I'll take you from among the heathen, gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Now, anytime you see these passages like this in the Old Covenant, see, Israel at this time, or Judah rather, the southern king, they were in captivity in Babylon at this time. Ezekiel is a prophet who prophesied to the people while they were in captivity. And so when you look at this, a lot of people, they relegate this to only the physical nation of Israel coming out of captivity and going back to the promised land. And there is a limited application to the people of Israel. But the scripture, one old preacher told me one time, it's bifocal. It looks close and it looks far away. And the ultimate application of this is to spiritual Israel under the headship of Christ. Because there are a lot of things that are said here that cannot be said of the physical nation Israel. Now, God did take them out of all countries, bring them back to the promised land. But that's the way he does his chosen people in Christ. They're all over the world. They're in Malawi, Africa. They're in Albany, Georgia. They're in Louisiana, Ruston, Louisiana, and Jacksonville, North Carolina. God's going to gather his people out from among the heathen and bring them under the headship of Christ. And so he says in verse 25, then will I, this is Ezekiel 36, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. That's the blood of Christ cleansing us from all sin, from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Now that didn't happen to the physical nation Israel. They, for the most part, stayed in idolatry, even when God brought them out and put them in the land. There may have been a brief time of national obedience, but it didn't last long. And he says, I'll cleanse you from the filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And look at verse 26. He says, a new heart will I give you. That's the new birth. That's regeneration and conversion. The heart is the mind, the affections, and the will. A new spirit will I put within you. And notice the language here. It's the language of God's covenant, covenant of grace. It's not I will, if you will. Because if that was the language, we'd all be doomed. It's the language of I will and you shall. Sovereignty, sovereign grace. And he said, I'll put my spirit within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. Now, flesh, a lot of times, it means sin. But what he's talking about here is a heart that is pliable and bendable and obedient, not hard-hearted. And he says, I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. That's the gospel. And he says, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Now, limited application, Israel in Palestine, the promised land. But ultimate application, the land of God's people, spiritual Israel, the kingdom of God. And you shall be my people, and I'll be your God. So that's talking about the new birth. Well, over here in our text, in Ezekiel 37, we have a beautiful illustration of that in a vision that God, by the Spirit, gave to his prophet Ezekiel in a valley that was stacked up, piled up, with dead, dry bones. And look at what he says in verse 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. This is a vision now. This is how God revealed himself to his prophets in the Old Testament before they had the word of God as we have it today. And he set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. These bones have been there for a long time in this vision. So there's no question here that these were dead, dry bones. There's no life there. Somebody said that Ezekiel is preaching, he's going to preach to a bunch of skeletons. Oh no, they weren't even brought together as skeletons. There was just a pile of dead, dry bones that God showed Ezekiel. And these bones are a picture that describes all of God's people by nature. We fell in Adam, and as we are naturally born into a state of spiritual death and depravity, without life, spiritually speaking, we have physical life, but we don't have spiritual life. And as there was no physical life in these bones, none at all, there's no spiritual life in us as we're born sinful. That's why Christ said, you must be what? Born again. You can't see the kingdom of God if you're not born again, because you don't have the spiritual eyes that God gives his people to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, to see who God is and who we are in our sinfulness, and to see God's way of salvation to his glory in Christ, the righteousness of God. And he says you don't have ears to hear. And all of that. So in John chapter 3, that's what he talks about to Nicodemus. You must be born again. And it's born from above by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And I'm going to talk about that today in the main message when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in the application of the benefits and blessings of salvation in Ephesians chapter 1. So here's the point. Apart from this new birth, this life-giving power from Christ, who is our life-giver, we have no will, no knowledge, no desire to believe in Christ and follow him. Faith in Christ is not natural to us. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. And you can't spiritually discern or judge or value something until you have spiritual life. So spiritual life is the Spirit giving that unction that John spoke of in 1 John 2:20 that comes from Christ, our life giver. And so faith doesn't, it's not the product of our so-called free will. No such thing in spiritually dead people. Look at these bones. They didn't have free will. They didn't have a will at all spiritually or physically, but we don't have a will spiritually. And faith is not the product, the new birth life is not the product of our decisions, because if left to ourselves, we won't make the right decision. And so it's the gift of God given to us through Christ. So here they are, these dry bones. Now look at verse 3. He says, he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Is it possible for these dead dry bones to live? Well, our answer naturally would be no. That's not possible. There are two great questions that need to be answered if sinners like us are going to have spiritual and eternal life. And the first question has to do with the legal aspect of this thing, because we're sinners and we've earned and deserved nothing but death and condemnation. That is, under the law condemns us. Rightly so, justly so. So the great question in that matter is, how can a sinner be justified before a holy God? How is that possible? And of course, you know that was posed in the book of Job in several ways. Job 9:2, Job spoke it. I know it is of truth, so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? How can a sinner be right with God? You see, that's our problem. God must be just when he saves us. It's all right to talk about God's mercy and God's love and God's grace, and those are beautiful things and we rejoice in them. But if you talk about them without the justifying righteousness that God has provided through his Son by his grace, they're empty terms. Grace, Romans 5:21, grace reigns through righteousness, justice, through unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And of course, That's the answer. The only way that God can be just and justify me and you is based upon the righteousness of his Son, who is our surety and our substitute and our redeemer, who satisfied God's justice for our sins, charged to him, imputed to him. And as a result, we have his righteousness charged to us, imputed to us. And that's how God justifies the ungodly. So that question's answered in the preaching of the gospel. Now, the next question that is posed, which is posed to the prophet here that needs to be answered, is this. Can these bones live? How can spiritually dead sinners have spiritual life? What's the answer? I know years ago there was a preacher who wrote a book, How to Be Born Again. And basically what he said was, you're born again by you making a decision to follow Christ. That's not what the Bible says. Christ didn't tell Nicodemus, well, you must be born again, and here's how you do it, Nicodemus. You believe in me, and then you'll be born. No. He says, you must be born again. And he even said it this way, the Spirit, who is the agent, the sovereign agent of the new birth, it listeth and goeth where it will. You don't know where it comes from, where it's going. I do know this. You know, somebody said, well, how do you know if God's going to give anybody spiritual life? Here's what I do know. And here's what the Bible says. If he gives life to you or to me, it's going to be under the preaching of the gospel, the truth. And I'll show you that in just a moment here in this illustration. Can these bones live? Well, we're at a total loss to answer that question. We can't create physical life, let alone spiritual life. Can these bones live? Well, listen to what Ezekiel said in verse 3. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. You know. The Creator God. The redeeming God. The life-giving God. He knows. We don't. He knows. Sinful man's answer to these questions. How can man be justified? How can man, dead spiritually dead people, gain life? How can that happen? Natural man's answer is always in some form salvation conditioned on man. It's based upon something man has to do of his own, as they say, free will. But that is anti-biblical, anti-gospel. It's not so. And if that were the case, we'd all be doomed. So don't go with natural man's answer on this. Well, look at verse 4. We'll read verses 4 through 6 here. Here's the answer God gives. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, isn't that strange? Prophesy to these bones. Preach to them. That's what he said. Years ago, I was up in Ohio preaching for Brother Scott Price, and there was another preacher there who came to visit. And he made the statement to me after my message, and I can't remember exactly where I was preaching from, but I had talked about the new birth and how it comes under the preaching of the word, that we go out and, you know, go out to all the world and preach the gospel. And he didn't believe that. He said, we're only to preach the gospel to those who have been made alive spiritually. And I said, well, the only way you know a person's been made alive spiritually is to preach the gospel to them. And he asked me this question. He said, would you water a lawn that was dead grass? Would you do that? I said, I would if God told me to. And I know this, God's able to make that grass come alive. And I asked him this question, would you go preach to a valley full of dead, dry bones? And he turned away. Because that's exactly what God told Ezekiel to do. Preach to them. Well, Lord, they're not going to hear me. You don't know. God knows the answer. And what are you going to preach? Hear the word of the Lord. Don't preach your own word, your own ideas, your own issues. Preach God's word. Preach the gospel. And that's what it's talking about. God's word, empowered by the Spirit of God. And I say amen too, brother, because that's what it's about, isn't it? That's what it's about. The gospel, Romans 1:16, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. In other words, if a person hears what we say in preaching the gospel of God's grace, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that's from knowledge revealed to knowledge received and believed. If a person believes that and submits to Christ as the Lord their righteousness, they've been convicted of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and the Spirit of God has empowered that to their eternal life. That's what you know. If you believe it, you don't have anything to brag in of yourselves. It's God who brought you to believe it. He gave you the gift of faith and repentance. And so look at verse 5. He says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, now listen to it. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. Tell these bones that God says he'll cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. Ezekiel didn't cause breath to enter into these bones. Ezekiel didn't give them life. He just preached the word of God and God did the work. God, it's the power of God unto salvation. And so what we see is the Holy Spirit, who is the divine sovereign agent in the new birth, the word of God, the gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus, is the instrument. Begotten again, James 1:18, by the word of truth. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And who gives us the hearing? God does. And hearing by the word of God. So whenever people want to talk about being regenerated and converted or born again without the gospel, don't listen to them. They're not speaking biblically. You know, that's why a lot of people refuse, like the Pharisees, to be converted. If God leaves us to ourselves, think about that, where we would be. So he says in verse 6, look here. He says, and I will lay sinews upon you. You know, that's sinews. That's the tendons and the ligaments that bring bones together. And I will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now that cannot refer to the physical nation of Israel, because one of the main complaints, even when God brought them out of captivity from Babylon and brought them back into the promised land, one of the main complaints of the prophets is they do not know the Lord. They have the law. They have the word. But God didn't empower it to their regeneration. He had a few. He had a remnant, you know. But they didn't know God. But whoever he's talking about here in illustration, they're going to know the Lord. And what did Christ say in John 17:3? This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is to know God as a just God and a Savior, as our Heavenly Father. And so they were quickened. He said, I'll cause breath to enter in to this. Well, let me give you an issue. Turn over to the book of Acts chapter 7. And I want to give you this, because there's always some objections that people will raise when they see certain scriptures. And you try to use them as proof text. And the question comes, can man or woman resist the Holy Spirit? Now, what Ezekiel is talking about here in this vision, what the Lord is showing him, is an irresistible calling. If this calling by the Spirit comes to a sinner, that sinner cannot resist it. It's an invincible calling. It's an irresistible calling. It's an effectual calling. It's the calling of God to his chosen people that he'll bring in. And God said that back over in chapter 36 of Ezekiel. He said, I'm going to call them out of the nations. I'm going to bring them together. And I'm going to put a new heart in them. And they shall come to me. They shall do that. They'll believe. That's the work of God. And he's going to do it. But in the book of Acts chapter 7, this is Stephen, the evangelist, preaching to unbelievers. And they did resist. It says in verse 51, look at Acts 7, 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Now, what is to be uncircumcised in heart and ears? Well, that's to be left in our natural state. You know, the Bible calls the new birth circumcision of the heart. And Paul spoke of that in Romans 2:28. He says, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, and circumcision is that not of the flesh, not physical, but that which is of the heart. If you're born again by the Spirit and come to faith in Christ by the power of God, you've been circumcised in the heart. The cutting away of the filth of the flesh, that idea that we naturally have that we can work our way to heaven. God puts that out of us and makes us bow to his sovereign grace. Only God can save me. Salvation's of the Lord. And so here's what Stephen says. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hard ears, you do resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Now, does that mean when the Holy Spirit comes in the effectual call that people can resist? No, because when the Holy Spirit comes in the effectual, invincible call, what does he do? He circumcises us in heart and ears. And so Stephen said to these people, you're uncircumcised in heart and ears. How do you know that, Stephen? Well, look at, it's verse 54. Here's how he knew it. When they heard these things, the gospel that Stephen preached, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were so angry that they gritted their teeth at him. And of course, you know what happened next. They picked up stones to kill him. When a person hears the gospel and they do not come to faith in Christ and they walk out unaffected, they're uncircumcised in heart and ears. God did not send the Spirit in power to bring them to saving faith. And that's God's business. Well, look back at Acts chapter 2. Now, here's another man, Peter, preaching at Pentecost. And he preached the gospel, same gospel that Stephen preached. But look at verse 37 of Acts chapter 2. It says, now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. That's the language of conviction. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were pricked. Now, who did that? The Holy Spirit did that. They were circumcised in heart and ears, and they became convicted and realized that they need Christ. They need a righteousness they can't produce. That's the effectual, invincible calling that Ezekiel's talking about in chapter 36, and here is illustrated by these dead, dry bones in chapter 37. So let's go back to chapter 37 of Ezekiel. See, Christ is the life giver of his people. The life that the Holy Spirit imparts and applies to God's elect in time to bring them to Christ, that life comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life giver. He died, he was buried, he arose from the dead, and he's now working all things after the counsel of his own will to bring his people to himself by the power of the Spirit under the Word. And he says, all that the Father giveth me shall what? Come to me. And him that cometh me I will in no wise cast out. Well, look at verse 7. Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Just like I told that fella, he asked me, would you water a dead stand of grass? I would if God commanded me. You say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. Maybe me neither, but God has a purpose. And he said, as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. See, this is Christ the life giver. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. You remember when God created Adam? And then he breathed the breath of life into him. That's what's happening here. And verse 9 it says, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. That's about, the wind is the breath there. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God. He didn't say, now Ezekiel, you command the wind to come in. He said, tell him, thus saith the Lord God. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So that's Christ the life giver. And so he says in verse 11, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Now again, there's a limited application to the nation. While they were in captivity, they complained, you know, that their hope was lost and all of that. But look at the rest of it. Verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Now you could say that the Lord did that when he brought them out of captivity and put them in the land of Israel. That's the physical providence of God. And of course you know that the reason God did all that was because he meant to keep those people together until Christ came into the world. But what this is referring to ultimately is how God in the new birth, he literally raises us from the dead spiritually. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's right. Just like old Lazarus came out of that grave when Christ cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus come out of the grave. Whenever you're and one of his sheep are under the preaching of the gospel, and he said, Audrey, come forth. Leon, come forth. Frank, come forth. Jim, come forth. All that's how it happens. And it says in verse 13, now look here. Now this is how we know the ultimate application of this is to spiritual Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now again, I keep harping on this because I know how people are when they want to challenge these truths. They'll say, well, that's what he did to national Israel, to a point. But those people never came to a saving knowledge of God in Christ. Only a remnant of them did. But the nation as a whole perished. And of course, they lasted up until Christ. And then in AD 70, he scattered them all, destroyed them all. But that's Christ, our life giver. If we have life, it's he who gave it to us. And it came forth out of his death. His righteousness is what gives us life. Amen.